tonight, Kate Delaney. Coast to coast and all the nooks and crannies in between. My favorite, the flyover states. Hey, I went to school, Ohio University. And we'd like to go inside the Beltway. Victoria Jones joining us from Talk Radio News. At the top of the show, we always do that. It's a lot of fun. Victoria, today, John Boehner gets before the microphones, and I love what he said. The quote that I heard is he says, it's not perfect every day. And, of course, he was talking about the fact that the extensions of the Patriot Act were blocked, and you're talking about a lot of the surveillance aspects of that. So this was a huge blow, really, to the Republicans.
Yeah, it was a huge blow to the Republicans because 26 Republicans defected and voted with the Democrats. Now, some Democrats also voted with Republicans because the president was in favor of the reauthorization of the Patriot Act also. But by and large, you know, normally it's the Republicans who vote in lockstep. And what they found was that there were a number of freshmen who voted against and the libertarians. And the freshmen were saying, and some of them were Tea Partiers, were saying, first of all, I didn't know about the vote, and second of all, they didn't explain it to me, and they didn't explain to me what was in it, and they're referring to the leadership when they say they, and so I'm not going to do it, and I've got concerns about civil liberties. So, and they brought this to the floor under a suspension of the rules, which means they have to get two-thirds of the people in the House to vote for it in order for it to pass, which is risky. But they do that when they think it's going to be non-controversial, which is what they thought this was going to be. And you know, the Democrats learned that to their cost with a couple of votes last year. They had the same experience today. They had the same embarrassment today with another bill, which had to do with trying to – I'm trying to get it right in front of my eyes – which had to do with getting money back that they'd already donated to the United Nations.
Oh, yes, 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 yeah.
They thought that was going to be a breeze, and it failed.
Mm. Okay, so that's why we get the comment, not a perfect day every day.
Well, and there was more. There was a trade bill before the Ways and Means Committee yesterday evening, and mm-hmm. that had to be yanked because conservative Republicans on the committee started to object to parts of the bill, and the Republicans realized they might not have the votes to get that through the committee.
Yeah, so they, in other words, they folded their hand.
Yeah.
That makes sense because they realized, hey, we're not up at the poker table. This hasn't been a good couple of days or a good day, so let's just fold this hand. They didn't fold when it came to breaking bread, though, with the president. Do you know anything about the lunch? What was the lunch meeting? What was the finding common ground or something?
Yeah, it was finding common ground. I mean, the White House has said, look, you know, we've needed to be better about reaching out to Republicans, and this is part of that. And so you had the president, the vice president, and the chief of staff meeting with Speaker Boehner, Majority Leader Cantor, and Whip Kevin McCarthy, who came in, by the way, for a lot of criticism over that failed vote on the Patriot Act. And they talked about spending. They talked about the budget. They talked about some foreign issues, Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not clear to me whether they talked much about Egypt. But mostly they talked about the budget, and they talked about spending, and they talked about cuts. And it was apparently a good discussion.
Wow, but how about that?
We don't know exactly in what way.
Right. So, you know, just glowing terms, broad brush strokes, and that's what came out of that lunch, because they're not telling you any of the specifics, at least at this point.
They're not telling us specifics. I mean, they are saying, you know, that they got into some, and that, you know, obviously both sides have, you know, they have their bill coming out, the president's budget, the Valentine's Day budget comes out on Monday.
Sure.
And they're vowing to work together and all that kind of thing. And they want him to move forward on some free trade bills. So they talk about all those issues. But in terms of specifics of what they really talked about, even when they came out afterwards for a press availability, you didn't really get very much out of them, quite honestly. You said from McCarthy, it was a beginning and a start. Cantor saying he left the meal committed to try to work with Obama, because the economy so desperately needs us to work together. They had a fairly robust conversation.
Well, okay. One last thing. This is kind of on the gossipy note, just because I read it somewhere in one of the online things about the Congressman Chris Lee, who had to resign. It just shows you how the microscope is even bigger now, especially with social media and all the internet sites. But Gawker.com apparently broke a story that he was soliciting sex from somebody, and he just resigned because this has been an online ongoing thing, I guess. I didn't even know about it, just found out about it today, and he's gone. Does that ever create any ripples or nah? Because there's so many other things going on that if there's something that breaks on the internet about somebody soliciting sex who's a congressman, depends on the day. Is that what it's
it always gets talked about in Washington. First of all, because they love gossip, you know, so they love to do that, and they're pretty catty. But also, it's always interesting when it is a Republican and somebody who's a conservative Republican, because they usually run on, you know, very strict moral lines.
Right. So there was gossip over it then.
There certainly has been in the last few hours, no question about it. Yeah. And he'd said in his ad on Craigslist that he was divorced and a lobbyist, of course. Who knows, in a few months he might be.
There you go, touche. What a way to end this. Always a delight. Victoria, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight from Talk Radio News. We appreciate it. All right, and talking there about the gossipy side of, he heard Victoria mention, of course, yeah, just like anywhere else, gossip is huge inside the Beltway. A little bit more on what she was talking about and what I asked her about, they're calling him the Craigslist Congressman because, a married Republican who really preached the fact that he was happily married and, you know, God and country first and all that sort of stuff. So Christopher Lee went on Craigslist trolling, as Victoria was trying to explain, and in the site where it was Women Seeking Men Forum, and as she said, divorced, lobbyist, fit, fun, classy guy, that's how he described himself. And January 14th, a single 34-year-old woman put an ad in the Women for Men section of the personals. Well, somebody proved to me that not all CL men look like toads. And she's saying financially and emotionally secure and waited for the reply. And, of course, the reply was the married congressman. And what he put, or the shot that he sent, was a shot of him shirtless and describing himself as 6 feet, 190 pounds, blonde with blue eyes, pretty sexy type photos. So he sealed his own fate. Yeah, and as she made the joke, he may end up becoming a lobbyist. And he replied, and that was it, because he used a Gmail account. And it definitely was confirmed to be his. He knew it. And then that's when he decided, okay, I think I'm going to have to bail on this. I think I'm going to have to leave my gig because they caught me with my hand in the cookie jar. Wow. And, of course, a spokesperson for him says, the congressman is a happily married man. And the only time he or his wife posted something online was to sell old furniture when they changed the apartment that they kept in D.C., except for these racy photos that are all over the place if you go to Gawker. And they are pretty. I mean, he looks like he's trolling. You look at the pictures, he looks like he's looking to pick up some chicks, hey. Coming up on the flip side, odds and ends. We're going to fill in the blanks for the rest of the country.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
What bothers you most about menopause? Is it the hot flashes? Waking up at night drenched in sweat? How about the mood swings or putting on weight? Tens of thousands of women have turned to Amberen to get relief from their menopause symptoms. Will Amberen work for you too? The only way to find out is to give it a try. That's why we're giving every woman who calls today a complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen with a 30-day supply free. Amberen is all natural, and its safety and effectiveness is backed by published clinical studies. Do you want a life without hot flashes, night sweats, or mood swings? Want to lose weight, sleep great, and have more energy? We've made trying Amberen completely risk-free, and you get a 30-day supply free. All you have to do is make the call. To claim your complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen, visit GetAmberen.com or call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
One of our hourly segments, Odds and Ends. You know, basically we're filling in the blanks from across the country. I started off inside the Beltway and the lighter side, if you will, or the, as we were calling it, sort of the TMZ version of Washington, D.C., the idiot Republican congressman who went on Craigslist taking sexy photos of himself, or actually just showing the photos, and trolling for women, he must have been. So he quit. He quit. And here's the thing. I was talking to somebody today about this on the Hill. And the way it works is, if you could just get in. Like, if I'm a congressman, give me a couple, just give me a term. I get to, when I retire, I get to retire. If that's it, if I serve one term, I retire with whatever the salary was. I get that for the pension. You don't even need to, so you don't even need to stay that long. You don't even need to get elected that many times. And poof, you get the full amount. No, that's a great gig. How many jobs do you have where you can just retire and get those full benefits? So you just gotta get in. And this was a guy who was gonna run. I can't say who it is. Cause he would kill me. But he's thinking of running. And you know what? This was one of the incentives. This was one of the incentives for his family. So this guy, Congressman Lee, what was he thinking? What was he thinking putting himself on Craigslist? And then you could easily trace it back to his Gmail. This is the thing. I truly believe sometimes when people go on the internet, they don't realize how easy it is to track the whatever it is that they've said on chats. Yes, all of you on chats. People who are blogging, emails, all that sort of stuff. Hello. Just watch one episode of CSI or NCIS or any of those crazy shows. I don't know. And really, it does mirror life when they're looking for certain suspects, because unless you completely get rid of the hard drive and every trace of evidence, whoever you sent the things to, whatever, it's so easy to track you. So on Craigslist, it was a layup to do this. And I want to finish this up, because what the bumbling fool said, and this is the quote, It's been a tremendous honor to serve the people of Western New York. I regret the harm that my actions have caused my family, my staff, my constituents. I deeply and sincerely apologize to them all. I have made profound mistakes, and I promise to work as hard as I can to seek their forgiveness. Of course, I won't be in office, so who cares after that since I'm done. And then he just went on with this other gobbledygook about he's resigned his seat in Congress effective immediately. And of course he has, because, like I said, they caught him. If they hadn't caught him, he wouldn't have done it. He was first elected back in 2008, and he represents the 26th district, is the western part of New York. So that's Buffalo and Rochester. And then he won re-election. And, you know, this is the thing. Do we live in a culture of what one would call zero tolerance? Do we live in that culture? I think so. Especially if you're going to pretend to be the God-loving, family, Christian, Republican, and then turn out to be on a website, bare-chested, flexing your muscles, and going after women who are single. He's married. He has a kid. That's the deal. He's married. He has a kid. And they had him. And there's no way around that. There was no explanation. There was no way he could get out of it. Because I think if he could have come up with an explanation, you know, maybe he would have tried that. And the pictures, they just look so creepy. You see the picture of, you know the pose, the congressperson or the senator pose? It's like almost like they went to Sears or JCPenney's, only they have a nice expensive suit on. And they have the lapel pin of the flag, has a grin on his face, and just looks so regal and so serious and such a family man. And then the other photo of him looks like a sleazy troller. And he's an okay-looking guy. But the bottom line is, you know, if I were single and I were looking on Craigslist and I saw the photo, I would just think cheesy, cheeseball. And this guy's a Congress guy. This guy is a guy who is constantly revering and saying all the values, the whole family values thing. See, that's the problem. So he knew he had to bail. That's the deal. He had to bail. All right, let's give you a daily salute. We need a daily salute. I'm going to start slipping these in. And this one's a layup because, you know, who isn't rooting for this woman? I mean, you would have to be a troll if you're not rooting for the congresswoman from Arizona, Gabby Giffords. We're getting little updates about her. And she's recovering, of course, from that gunshot wound to the head. And that goes all the way back to over a month ago. She's actually started to speak, I guess, a little bit. She's regaining her speaking abilities. She asked for toast while she was having breakfast. And she said a few other things that they're not really revealing what she said. But that clearly she was speaking. So that's good news. I mean, that's great news. Yeah. I think so. You'd have to be an ogre not to be happy about that. I know it doesn't matter what your politics are or whatever. I mean, it's just nice to see that this is happening. And it seems to be that they keep talking about the therapy. But you talk to any therapist, just someone not even involved in it, someone that's not in part of the PR pump and trying to make everyone feel good. That honest to goodness, people remove from this, and they'll tell you, wow, that's just, it's very aggressive what they're doing with her, and it's working. It's working because now she's speaking and all this other stuff, and, you know, who knows how long it is before she's able to have some sort of a press conference or whatever, because I bet that's what eventually will happen. And you think of the six people who were killed and how sad that is, and the fact that she survives this, I mean, it speaks volumes. And then she's got the astronaut husband who's going to go on the mission and the Endeavor, and I think that was such a smart move. And that news came at the tail end of last week. I think we mentioned on a previous show, and bravo for Mark Kelly. I think that was the smart move. There was a lot of debate over whether he should go into space or not. Oh, you know, your wife's sick, and she's rehabbing, this horrible thing happened, and the nation was riveted by it. Is it really the right thing? And it's crazy. I mean, it became serious debate. And of course, nobody knows how she would feel other than people close to her, but obviously they were independent people and knew the risk of both of their jobs. So that's a, I think that was a smart, smart thing. Coming up at the end of the hour, we're going to talk about some urban legends, and we're going to talk about cell phones on airplanes. We're going to do that with one of the editors of AOL Travel. You know, when you get on a plane, if you haven't been on a plane in a while, of course, we're always talking about electronics. Take all your electronic devices. They must be turned off and stowed away before takeoff. Once we're at a safe altitude or whatever the specific words are, they say, you know, we'll tell you when you can turn them back on. But always the cell phones have to be off. Except for now, there's one little twist. They didn't used to do this. It's like the second you hit the ground, and probably because sometimes you are stuck when you're taxiing in to unload and stuff, they'll tell you, flip on the cell phones. You're free to use your cell phones or whatever, but not in the air. And so I think it kind of makes people paranoid that if I turn on the cell phone, am I going, you know, is the plane in danger? Am I endangering the plane? People, you got to think. I mean, even to one of our most tragic days in recent times, 9/11, what were the people doing? They were on cell phones calling and saying goodbye to people and leaving messages. But they just don't want the cell phones on. I say I have a theory about this because eventually, especially since you can use a phone on the plane, you know, the phones, you pick them up, I don't know how much it cost you. Probably a lot of money when you use your credit card. Eventually, there's going to be a cell phone that you can rent. And there's like three of them on the whole plane. And it's going to cost you, I don't know, for $25, you can talk for 10 minutes to so-and-so, to whoever you want, but whatever. We only have three of these phones, just like the Pringles. We only have 15 Pringles for $20 on the plane. So since we're going to talk about the airlines at the end of the hour, an interesting thing, something that gets under everyone's skin is the whole bag fee thing, right? So now they're saying that US Air is hiking the baggage fee too. Ooh, and I just recently flew US Air and it was the highest because I'm used to flying American and I think it's like $25. Their price jumps from 50 for overweight bags that weigh between 50 and 70 pounds. Forget the golf clubs. The price is jumping from 50 to 90 bucks. Wow. And if it's more than for the supersized bags, sometimes you see people with them with a big family, $175. Can you imagine? $175. That's insanity. We can count coming up around the bend.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new sight glass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BIGBERKEY waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Strength, energy, and endurance are all synonymous with youth. Would you like to feel youthful again? Protein absorption and synthesis are at the foundation of strength, energy, and endurance. Insults to your intestinal lining from drugs, heavy metals, bad diet, and age can inhibit your absorption of amino acids from your protein foods. This causes your body to repair slowly and be prone to injury. By taking a highly digestible protein into your body, you can greatly increase your repair rate and energy level. One World Whey protein powder is more digestible than milk or eggs. One World Whey is the first ever truly unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows on the market. Whether you like to exercise, want more energy, want greater strength, or just want to feel better, One World Whey is a must for you to try. To read some amazing testimonies or to get your free report, go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Is a lot of snow. How much snow have all of you gotten around the country? And perhaps listening to us outside of the country. That's where we start in this edition of We Can Count. Winter storm again bearing down on the southeast. This is just barely a week after the record-setting weather slammed into Texas and Oklahoma and all kinds of places. And the temperatures are crazy. So this winter storm, let me give you an idea of this. 3-6 inches in parts of Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, all that sort of stuff. And that's what they're talking about that is coming. Some places have already gotten the snow. I woke up to just an inch of snow, but probably this much. And if you can't see it, probably, I don't know, 6 inches of ice. Yeah. That's the hard part. So you get the rain, it freezes, and then you get the snow. And that's when it's tricky. People don't know what they're doing, and they're walking around. They think they're fine. I saw somebody jogging. Boom! On his back. And the guy looked like he's in pretty good shape. And he was with a dog, and I thought, oh, you're like fooled by this little fake snow on top of this thick ice. It'd be like going to an ice rink and just covering it in snow, just one little tiny layer of snow, and thinking, oh, I'll be fine. I can just jog across. I can jog around this ice rink. I mean, really, that's what it's like. And I know people listening to us in Kentucky, you can relate, because you're getting nasty weather, Indiana, Illinois, and temperatures are really falling in a lot of places, too, single digits. But 1-2 inches, it's the ice I don't like. It's the ice that causes all the accidents, and and people not realizing when they're driving, and the next thing you know, in fact, and this is just because our satellite facilities in Texas, and all you have to do is flip on the local news, and they have maps now of accidents. They have these cheesy photos, you know, fake photos. They're not really animation, but they show like a almost like the old Batman cartoons. Kaboom! Kapow! Remember when they used to pop up, and they have the cars hitting each other, and I think, oh, I would be so bummed if I got in an accident, came home miserable after being stuck for however long, and then saw the kaboom effect when I flipped on the tube. Oh, yeah, that's where I was. I was on that highway. That's what happened to me. And because there's not enough salt to put down, there's not enough. They're pretty much out of it. What's happened is the very far lane, the left lane on some of these three-lane highways, they decided, okay, well then we'll just put it on the other two sides. Put it all on the right side. We won't do it on the left side. So what did the trucks do? The trucks go in the left lane and get stuck and then back up everyone else. So that hard freeze, and there's freeze warnings, by the way, all over the U.S., you know, all the way to Mexico. And that's what locks things in. With this cold high pressure brings temperatures 30 to 40 degrees below average to a lot of parts in the country, in the central area. I call them the flyover states, right? So you have snow and ice. All of you listening, Missouri, Oklahoma, Arkansas. Arkansas had some bad weather. And I wish they did this when I was a kid, but in anticipation of the 6 inches they might get or whatever the weather's going to be, school is closed. What if the weather, like, changes? The map changes. Or it's just not quite as bad as they thought. It doesn't matter. Your school's closed. I never, ever got that lucky. Never. They've never closed it in advance. Uh-uh. I wish. All right, one quick one. Then we're going to go to Al in Canada. Another one for We Can Count. This is big. So if you have a 401k, I don't care how much money you have in it. If you have just a teeny, teeny bit of money in the stock market, U.S. stocks have been pretty good lately. In fact, the Dow has gone up for 8 straight sessions. I can't remember the last time I looked at that and saw the trend going in that direction. The S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were lower because you had 4 days of gains. So you know what happens when people are playing the stock market, they get the gains, then they sell, right? Then they take some of those profits out, and then that kind of dips things down. But anyway, what you need to know is just if you have some money in the company, if you're lucky enough to be one of those few people that sell the company that takes care of you that way, the Dow Jones Industrial Average managed somehow to add 7 points. Yeah, 7 points. Remember, it is like gambling, so you just have to have a little bit. I would put stuff in gold. I would put stuff in the stock market. I would divest. If you have any kind of assets, then you have to be a big pile of money. I think divest, because you see how things are going in other countries, and just to be safe, and that's the best policy, I think, anyway. I don't think you want to be all in on just one thing. I think it's good to be diversified anyway. All right, so Al in Canada is going to interrupt We Can Count for a second. Hey, Al, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Kate. Canada needs a Paul Revere to ride through the streets of Toronto and shout, "The British are coming, the British are coming." Did you hear that the London Stock Exchange is going to take over the Toronto Stock Exchange?
I did hear that. How is that being received by the people? Obviously, you don't like it.
Well, I don't know. You're an expert on the stock market, or you know a hell of a lot more than I do. Doesn't the stock market basically a service provider? Does the stock market actually own, like, does the New York Stock Exchange, New York, Wall Street doesn't really own anything?
It's a basket of, basically think of it as a basket of stocks. How these stocks, you know, whatever, I'll just say 50 blue chippers or whatever. And that's how you, when I say you look at people taking gains off the table. And, you know, these are companies that are traded publicly. So you understand that. Like if I had the Kate Company and you decided, oh, I'm going to buy some shares of the Kate Company and my company's stock goes up. Well, you make money in it because you got, Al got in when it was a dollar and now it's, you know, $75. So the best things is that's what you're looking for, those kind of plays. Like oil in Canada is huge. Some of the oil stocks are good plays. So London Stock Exchange is stronger than Toronto's.
Yeah, but in the United States, something like this wouldn't be allowed in the United States because of your antitrust, anti-monopoly
right.
laws. Because,
right.
You know, the federal government, Washington would take a look at it and say, our antitrust laws, our anti-monopoly, you know.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't do that. No, because they want the American Stock Exchange. Yeah. So no, they don't, they wouldn't want to do that. No.
Yeah, I know. You fought a revolution to get out of the British Empire.
That's
right. And a quick comment about cold. You were talking about cold weather. In a city about 100 miles north of Bismarck, North Dakota, so it's not up at the North Pole, it's about 100 miles north of Bismarck, North Dakota, a 60-year-old homeless woman froze to death last night because it was 35 below Fahrenheit. It was so cold. Centigrade and Fahrenheit are the same. When it gets that damn cold, it's Fahrenheit and centigrade are the same. It was 35 degrees below zero with the wind chill. You know, meanwhile, Al Gore is sitting in one of his many heated, air-conditioned mansions somewhere, probably one of his five mansions, in a nice, warm mansion, writing a speech about global warming. Don't you find that kind of ironic?
Yeah, but I find a lot of things ironic about what Al Gore does.
Is Al Gore
and
still
then,
alive? I haven't heard,
yes, he's still alive.
I haven't heard Al Gore beacon off for a year now.
You know, he does go and speak, and he does a lot of environmental talks and that kind of stuff. But no, he hasn't been quoted a lot lately. Politically, he kind of backed out of the political scene for a while. But part of that is because he's getting divorced from his wife, and there was all kinds of rumors and things. And so I think he wanted to quell all that well, he was fooling around with Larry David's wife. And I think he didn't like that being out there. Lori David, who's the big environmentalist. So I think that's part of what happened, and he decided to go underground.
Well, I wish Al Gore would come and give a speech at the funeral of this poor lady that froze to death.
Oh, it's terrible. That's terrible. That's an awful story. Thanks, Al. That's a terrible, terrible story. Ooh. But thanks for sharing that with us. And yeah, no, it's interesting though your comment about Al Gore because he was so visible for a while. Remember, if you wind the clock back, even 4 or 5 years, even before that, with The Inconvenient Truth, when that came out, he gets the Academy Award. He still has, you know, that he's at least part owner, I think, in Current TV and some other ventures. But I think because of the personal thing, he hasn't been as visible. All right, so rounding out, we can count Sotheby's. Sold to Picasso. You want to know what they sold to Picasso for? $40 million. $40 million. I don't know why. When I just think if you have that much money for paintings, you breathe different air than the rest of us. You're living differently. And this is always an anonymous person, usually anyway. So it was an anonymous buyer, and it was La Lacour. That was the painting painted in the 30s. And it's what it is at the end of this, this work of art is Picasso portraying a teenage lover. That's the painting. That's my best description of it. I don't know if you look at it, I don't know that you would really get that. I'll have to post that. I will. I'll post that on my website later on americatonight.net. But there was a battle to get this painting. So there's a lot of people that have money to blow on paintings. There was like a heated battle in the last 6 minutes or so. They had seven people bidding on this, and the anonymous person by phone, the person wins this. And this was Picasso's young lover, Maria Therese Walter, who was 17 years old at the start of their relationship. And I think that that's the only painting or figure of her, how he envisioned her, that exists anyway. So $40.7 million. Harry Rinker is coming on next hour if you're around. We're going to have to ask him about this painting and what's new in the art world. Stay with us.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low, at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
I can't tell you how many times they've heard over and over again, turn off your cell phones, do not use your cell phones, and how often I've seen the person next to me try to keep the cell phone at arm's length, and sometimes it's on, sometimes they forget, I don't know. And then I think, oh, is this going to interfere with the plane? What's going to happen when you keep the cell phone on? And recently, Arianna Huffington made some big news getting in trouble for cell phone use. So we're going to talk about that here on America Tonight, because I think it really relates with so many of you that travel and you're confused by some of the crazy stories you've heard and what's real and what's not. Let's separate some of that. Who better to do that with than somebody I'm sure who's traveled a lot and has serious mileage, Beth Caulfield. She's the editorial director for AOL Travel. Beth, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Absolutely. It's great to be with you.
First of all, I know that size doesn't matter, but with miles, it does. So do you have a lot of miles? Have you logged a lot of miles?
I've logged my fair share, yes.
It was funny. The other day, I put on my Facebook, I was so proud of it. I think I had 37,000 miles or something, and I just got bombarded by people who laughed and called me a peewee, and I was in the minor leagues, and then they put their miles. So I'm sure that they know much more than I do about some of these little travel things like cell phones. So are cell phones dangerous on the planes, or they're just trying to be safe about it, or what's the deal with the cell phones really?
Well, the truth is that cell phones have the potential to interfere with the plane's electronics, but they probably won't. And in fact, there's never been an accident that's been attributed to cell phone use on planes. So while they have the potential to garble transmissions, you have to keep in mind that the airplane electronics are really designed and shielded for this type of interference. And so what we see is really a better safe than sorry approach, since it's difficult to prove with 100% certainty that no cell phone can ever, you know, not have a negative impact on a flight. What we see is just a ban on all cell phone use. And, you know, beyond this, there's plenty of other good reasons not to be using cell phones on planes. Cell phones can become projectiles in case of a deceleration or an impact. And if you're listening to a cell phone or talking on a cell phone, then you're probably not paying attention to your flight attendant and your pilot.
Yeah, there you go. And isn't it funny? It's interesting that Arianna Huffington, I guess she figured she just didn't care. And she was literally pulled off a plane by the police because she just wouldn't turn the cell phone off. That's one of the crazier things I've heard. How about you?
Yeah, you know, there's been several cases of celebrities and bad behavior on airplanes lately. I think everyone's just trying to get, you know, as much time in and be as efficient as possible. But you know what? There's risks to that, and we really need to make sure that we're paying attention to our flight attendants and our pilots and their safety instructions.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, something else that I've always wondered about, the thing with the money. I saw somebody stopped one time who had money in the money belt, and he had more than $10,000, and suddenly it became a very big deal. What if I had $100,000 and had it stuffed in my belt? If I get stopped or something buzzes, they can say you can't be carrying this kind of money?
Well, I mean, you're going to get questioned if you're carrying large amounts of cash, you know, especially if you're traveling internationally. You know, you have to report that information when you're coming into different countries. And, you know, the reality of it is there's really no need to be carrying that much money. You know, these days when you travel, especially even in different countries, ATMs are prevalent. You know, you can easily use your ATM. You can easily pay by credit card. And a lot of times that's a lot safer than carrying cash around.
Yeah, there you go. All right, here's another crazy thing that somebody sent me a note about, and this was probably about a year and a half ago, asking me, because there was a story about somebody getting stuck on an airplane toilet. They got stuck to the, is that just nonsense and, you know, urban legend nonsense?
Yeah,
or what is that?
We can chalk that one up to being an urban legend, thankfully. You know, it was a rumor that started about 10 years ago, and, you know, like a lot of things on the internet just kind of take on a life of its own. But really, kind of the truth is that, first of all, most people just aren't that big that they could make a seal with the airplane seat. And, you know, the second part is that the suction on the airplane toilets, you know, isn't strong enough and doesn't last long enough for us to stick there. So there's plenty of other stuff to worry about in an airplane bathroom, but that's not one of them.
Okay, well, that makes me feel much more relieved, just in case. This is crazy about hotels. I've been traveling a lot lately. I went to Mississippi and stayed at the Beau Rivage. We did a thing on the oil spill and the recovery down there. In New York, we were doing something about domestic violence. And, I mean, regardless, I've traveled. And every hotel that I went to, you got the same thing. You know, you get the kind of credit card-looking hotel room key. And somebody told me, be careful because they've got some information on that card, so you don't want to lose it. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you put your card, you know, how you can just check out and put your card in a box? Is that true?
Yeah, well, you know what? The good thing for us to know is that generally the hotels don't really have any need to encode that type of information onto a key card. Typically, the only thing that's on a key card is the serial number of the key card, the hotel room that it's attached to, and the date for which it's valid. So you shouldn't worry that, you know, that card has your credit card information or anything like that. And if, you know, it still concerns you, the hotels don't require that you give back that key card. So just destroy it or keep it at the end of your stay.
All right, there you go. And there's so many, I mean, there's so many urban legends or crazy stories. Like we said, we both had known about the airplane and the toilet thing. Then somebody also told me about a story that somebody was trying to steal, is this true, steal a penguin in a backpack from the Boston Aquarium?
Well, this was another great rumor that went around the internet. But you know what? It got so much attention. And the rumor was, it went something like this. Kid got separated from their parents while at an aquarium. And upon getting home, the parents find the kid in the living room with a penguin. But, you know, this one actually, got so much attention that around the same time, the New England Aquarium in Boston actually had to have a press conference to dispel a rumor that baby penguins had been taken home in the backpack of one boy.
Oh, that's just crazy. This is interesting. I don't know. To me, this is bad behavior. I don't know why people do this. I don't understand, and I'm sure because you've traveled, you see this all the time. I feel like I'm going to be trampled at a concert, like we all have festival seating. When the plane lands, everybody jumps up so fast. I get it when you have connecting flights, and I don't know why they just don't try to ask and let people go off first. But is this a new phenomenon? It just seems like people, I don't know if it's that they're just rude or they're just not thinking about it. Have you seen that where it's just like, boom, and they'll just jump right in front of people?
You know, I have seen that, and there's, I think something where, air travel has lost a little bit of its kind of glamour that it had in years past, and people have been, in a race to get off the plane, in a race to take space in the overhead compartment, and, generally, not such great behavior. I think this is one where, when you're flying, unless you have that connecting flight, you really just need to take a deep breath, let the people go who really want to go, and, make your way out when it's a little bit less crowded.
I like that. Take the deep breath. What also, too, this is a good one since you're about travel. What's the rule of thumb with getting there? Because the whole thing about, you have to go through security in the 2 hours, and I've gone through the DFW airport, and it's been 5 minutes. Showed up, boom, 6 o'clock flight, no problem, in and out. Couldn't believe it. But then I've also shown up in New York where I showed up 2 hours before and I barely made it onto a flight. So is it depend on the city and the time, or what's the rule of thumb there?
I think the rule of thumb is 90 minutes before a domestic flight, 2 hours before an international flight, but it's really dependent on a number of things. Time of day, are you traveling during, the morning rush or the evening rush when people are commuting at the airport? Are you traveling on a day that's very crowded, like a Saturday, people coming back from vacations? Are you at an airport that's generally highly trafficked? I think all those things come in play. So think about that when you're deciding how early you want to go. The one thing I will say is if you are checking a bag, make sure you're there and have enough time, have at least 45 minutes so that your bag gets on the plane. So that's kind of the biggest one, is you want to make sure that you've got your bag checked in with at least 45 minutes to spare so your bag gets on the plane.
Yeah, have you noticed, too, on some of these smaller commuter flights, and the first time it happened to me, I thought, I bet they're going to charge me. Why would they charge me? My bag's actually small. But they valet your bag because there's just not enough room. Even if you have just a normal size in a bigger plane, you would have room for it. Have they been doing that for a long time? Because I guess I've never taken those small flights.
Yeah, the smaller planes that are typically like those commuter flights, especially from areas like Washington, D.C. to New York and Boston, they just don't have kind of the overhead space that a larger plane has. And so what you'll see is people gate checking their bag. They'll take the bag up to the plane, up to the gate, leave it at the door of the plane, and then instead of going down to the baggage claim, your bag's actually waiting for you when you get off the plane, which is kind of nice.